G'day anti-socialites, this is Ryan Quarrington here. You might remember me from episode 227 and from South Australian bands Shatterbrain and Alkira. I'm momentarily commandeering this episode to plug Shatterbrain's debut album, Pitchfork Justice, which is out now via Wormhole Death Records. It's available for streaming wherever you stream your music, or if you're a fan of old school physical, you can pick up a CD or a vinyl along with any other band paraphernalia you can think of via our online store at shatterbrainmetal.com. Thanks for listening, over to you, Andy and Larry.
Hey, welcome back to my little show. Before we kick into it, you know what I'm going to say? Patreon. Come and join me on Patreon. Patreon.com/AndyDowling. It is the best way to support this podcast and supports us from only $1 a month. That is my goal for this year, is to get as many $1 supporters as possible. The more I get, obviously, the better it's going to be. But it's the ultimate accountability piece, the ultimate motivator. It keeps me fired up. It's the reason. Patreon is the reason why this podcast exists in 2021. And it's the reason why there's two episodes a week. Firing on all cylinders. I'm absolutely loving it. It's because of the Patreon community. There are additional tiers there if you want access to the Patreon podcast each week or giveaways and free stuff. There's a whole bunch of stuff over there. So go over to patreon.com/AndyDowling. Hey, it's the Andy Social Podcast, episode 289 of the show. And my guest on this episode is Mary Zimmer. Mary is the vocalist for American power metal band Hellion Prime. Also a vocal instructor. She's got her own business, Voice Hacks, which is music lessons and music tutorials on singing. Her previous bands, Luda Mortis and White Empress. She is a busy woman doing a whole bunch of different things, which I really admire. And I had an absolute ball catching up and having a chat with Mary. As you'll hear in this chat, towards the end, we sort of ran out of time and I really only just got started. I was just ticking things off the list. And I had so many things to talk about. So we're going to catch up in the coming weeks and do a round two. So stay tuned for that and I'll update the show notes when that all comes through. But in the meantime, check out Hellion Prime's latest album, Question Everything. Go to hellionprimemetal.com. Follow Mary on the socials, Metal Mary Z or Mary Zimmer Official. Voice Hacks, of course, on Facebook and the socials and the YouTube channel. I'll have everything in the show notes over at andysocial.net and andydowling.net, as well as the description of whatever the hell you're listening to this through right now. You should be able to click through and say hi to Mary and co and let them know what you think of this episode. But enough crapping on from me, folks. Please enjoy this great chat with Mary Zimmer. Can you fill me in a little bit on Avril Lavigne and this weird conspiracy? Can you just give me, because I don't think my listeners to this podcast would probably be terribly aware of this.
Okay. Well, did Avril Lavigne have any hits in Australia, by the way? Is she globally?
Yeah, definitely global. Yeah.
I just wasn't, because with pop, you assume globally, but you'd be surprised sometimes how country to country, what ends up carrying over, you know, in the top 40 isn't always the same.
Yeah.
So I was like, was she a thing there? But so what you're referring to essentially is this video that I made a little while ago about, and it's so crazy because I still go like, why do people watch this? I made it a couple of years ago and I get comments on it like literally every single day to this day, like more interaction than a brand new video. And it's because there's a Reddit conspiracy. This is the era of like Reddit and what's the QAnon and all the crazy, you know, all these forums. There's a conspiracy thread that started with people who are convinced that, you know, Avril Lavigne has been replaced. Not only is the original Avril Lavigne dead, but that she's been replaced. Some of the theories conflict. So there's two variations of the theory. The first variation says that she was replaced by someone who is like an Avril double, who was hired to be her double. You know, how we hear about celebrities intentionally hiring a double to distract the paparazzi or whatever. Mm. So that's one theory, that the actual double, and the theorists like have a name for this person. Her name is Melissa. So I don't know if like Melissa was an actual double that actually existed or if this is just a name that these people came up with. But so there's that theory. And then there's the other theory that she was actually cloned which so far I'm not aware that human cloning is successful. It's certainly not legal. And again, this is a person in their 30s now. So this would be, if you clone them, I'm not really sure how they're going to grow unless clones grow like extra fat. Yeah. So shouldn't it be like a 15-year-old Avril, not a 35-year-old? So I don't really know, but what the theories are that she's been replaced, that it's not the same person, to the point where people will be like, look at this face from this year and look at her face from this year. And so a lot of the conspiracies have to do with her voice and, oh, her voice is like this in this year and her voice is like this in this other year. And certainly her 35 or however old, I'm just approximating, you know, however old, or 32 probably-ish old voice is way different from her 17-year-old voice that she got famous with. And this is makes sense, you know, from a biological and physiological perspective. This would be the case a lot. The other thing so I just did like a video where I broke it down and kind of just took an old clip and a new clip. And basically it sounds to me like when she was young, she was actually trying to artificially lower or darken her voice, which is not naturally low or dark at all. And this is a very common thing I see. I actually see this a lot more in men. Weirder, I see people with dark voices trying to do this and male voices trying to do this. And even I was guilty of this at first when I was classical singing, because you hear other dark voices and you think you need to like do something, but it's actually just the natural tone of your voice. In the case of Avril, she was just trying to do that without having a dark voice and just trying to make it heavier sounding. But when you're listening from a voice teacher perspective, you're hearing like all this like sort of husky breathiness, a lot of like, it's just not how you would want someone to sing technically. Because again, the problem with being a singer is you have to accept the tone that you have and just try to get the best resonance of that instrument. You can't like artificially darken or brighten it, unfortunately. Like,
so just to stop you really quickly, just, I mean, because this is going to be a dumb question for me, but What do you mean exactly by sort of artificially sort of, or people attempting to sort of darken their voice? I mean, what sort of things are they trying to physically do?
That's a good question. Her older recordings sound like, wake up, what you yelling for? Like, I have to do it super low because my voice is like way lower than hers. It's like really strenuous though. It has a strenuous sound. It's almost breathy, like the notes are too low. They're like out of the physical possibility range of the person. Okay. In a lot of men, we get the yarling thing or the Michael McDonald thing. So where we get like, like these kind of tones, that doesn't sound very good. Doesn't that sound a bit husky and doesn't sound like my throat is a bit strenuous there? Like, you know, I don't know. I'm doing like Earth, Wind, and Fire out of Michael McDonald. But, you know, or in the Yarling, the 90s is one of the worst culprits, is the Yarlers.
It's almost like pushing to this sort of limit. It's beyond sort of, as you said, like that natural range that you've got.
It's sort of like pressing down on the larynx, although folks certainly consciously don't know they're doing it and sort of almost swallowing the sound, you know, and it does actually make it somewhat darker. You know, but actually if I just let my resonance come out, like, you know, that's much darker. You know what I'm saying? So typically, even if you have a high voice, if you just let it resonate naturally and you don't try to purposely do something with your mouth or your throat to change the timbre, it will actually sound much darker in its natural state because you want to feel the natural resonance. And it is unfortunate. Like, I cannot, for example, you hear how dark my voice is because of how low it is. I cannot brighten it. Like, when you're listening to folks speaking voices, they have timbres, just like instruments, bright, dark, and they have ranges, high to low. So, you know, future Avril, in 32-year-old Avril, has a very bright timbre to her voice, but it actually sounds correct. It just sounds like she had singing lessons, which she has. There is a couple vocal coaches out there who've coached her, and she it just sounds like she learned to stop doing those things she was doing when she was younger. And then it settled into the natural resonance, which is more of a normal woman's tone, which is usually bright. It's super unusual for a woman to have a low, dark voice like mine. And even an adult woman, it's not, it is a woman's voice. It's going to be bright. It's going to have a probably a soprano usually, or mezzo soprano. You know, it's very rare to be like a contralto or something. So she just sounded like she learned to sing properly and had some lessons and things. And so I just went on YouTube and I was like, yo, this is definitely the same person, like from a voice teacher perspective. That just sounds like a much older person now who's learned to resonate their voice properly. And it's also when you get older, about 30, your voice kind of settles into its true range. And so that can be higher and or lower. You know, it may be a little bit higher than you were using it maybe when you were younger. And again, it may be for other different reasons, but, you know, it certainly doesn't mean she was cloned or anything like that. Yeah. So yeah, it is the same person, but.
I love it. So as I said before, I was just scrolling through things just to try and find some things to talk about, and that popped up, and I went, this is like obviously the title and the topic. I just went, okay, well, I've got to click on it, and I guess that's why, you know, it's continued to be popular for you, but it's just such a bizarre thing, because I think, you know, just after the past, I don't know, the past year or so in particular, but probably the past several years, you know, just anything that you think is just totally crazy as far as a theory or whatever it might be, nothing's surprising anymore. Like you see something, you go, oh, well, of course somebody thinks that. Like, it's not just, oh my God, I can't believe it. It's just, there's this craziness every single day, and it's just become the norm. So watching this was very entertaining, and you did such a great job, because it was basically like, you can't argue this. I've broken it down from a technical point of view. And we're not even talking about the narrative and how many holes are in it. I mean, just from a purely a voice perspective, it's debunked straight away. So let's move on. So it was quite good.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the thing is, people want to believe that stuff. It's more interesting, you know, to believe. It's certainly more interesting than the person just learned how to sing. So I don't know.
Let's see. And I think, especially for her, you know, she started so young and just,
yeah,
I mean, so natural that anybody, I mean, even just putting your voice aside, you physically change, you grow,
yes,
you get older. And I think also just from a maturity and sort of psychological point of view, you completely change as a person anyway. So the way that you make decisions of what you do with your body, completely changed. As you said, like making even the maturity of making the decision to go down the path of getting vocal lessons, you know. Fair enough. There you go. So it's just such a weird thing. It's not like a 40-year-old woman who disappears or whatever and reappears 10 years later and there's a conspiracy and sort of like, you know, this, you have to hit it from another angle.
Yeah, there's no evidence like that that I'm aware of, but I didn't really get into it. But it's so funny. People still comment. They're like as of yesterday, very seriously believing this. So I think what's more frightening nowadays is that, you know, they're telling me, get with the program. You don't know what you're talking about. I've even had people like straight up accuse me of being in the Illuminati or something. And I'm like, well, I would certainly love to reap the benefits. Like, where's my $1 million mansion? And like, I mean, all the Illuminati people, you know, like where's that? But if I'm in the Illuminati, I want to give me some hookups. What's going on? And, you know, or just like somehow, so it's like literally what's scary about today is not only do people congeal on a certain idea together that's totally insane and incorrect, but that they also will create things like that, anything to justify it. Well, you're actually part of this conspiracy. So you're just here to trick us.
That's it. And I think everyone's even subconsciously is just searching for something to give them a thrill, give them some excitement in their day. And if somebody's debunking that or trying to squash it from a logical perspective, it's not even worth acknowledging from their end, because it's going to mess with the narrative that they've created, and it's exciting. And they're looking for that entertainment. And so you just, you dig that hole, or you go down that rabbit hole and just become more and more delusional with it. And you find, I mean, in the end, if you want to search for it, that confirmation bias, you'll find it some way. And you'll just delicately push aside any of the logic and reason, because it's not relevant in your mind. So it's just it's interesting, and obviously we've seen that in so many other, you know, parts of our lives, especially over the past 12 months. I certainly won't turn this into a conspiracy theory podcast, I promise. So,
yeah, that's just an interesting one that happened to be relevant to something that I did. So I get it totally. And I'm sure the audience, if they weren't aware of it, will be like, what the hell? You know, like,
oh, yeah, so. For sure. So I think on that topic, I mean, obviously we'll talk about the band and metal and all that kind of stuff, but I'm really fascinated with the whole voice hacks thing and your background, you know, what you've studied and really, I mean, coming from quite a professional background as far as having the knowledge and the skill set to be able to show people how to get better with their voice and not just somebody who is like, hey, I sing in a band, so I'm going to, you know, attempt to try and translate this and show other people how to sing. You're coming from quite a proficient background. So obviously you've got the education behind you, but did you have a light bulb moment when it came to going, like, you know, let's create some sort of business out of this and let's try to create some sort of branding around it?
No. Well, it was more like life. You get to this point where, so I had quit. So I don't know. I guess the point, without going too far back, is that there was just a point that I came to where I was going to school for something else. And I was, because I had quit music for a little bit, because I went to college for music and they make you study classical singing and stuff, because there's most like accredited universities won't give you a degree that revolves around modern music. Mm-hmm. There's like two in the whole United States, right. And they're on the opposite coasts, you know? And, even those two, when I looked at one of them and they were really jazz focused still, it still is like, it's very hard for a university. I think the only one in the States that would let you do sort of a rock or metal focus with like a music bachelor's degree would be like Musicians Institute in Los Angeles.
Right.
Because Berkeley's the one I was talking about that I felt like was still a little jazz. They were still kind of fixated on the jazz thing. And, this was at the time, though, which was a lot of years ago, so they may have changed now, but I haven't been in college for a long time. But anyway, so so I was in metal bands in college. That's where you meet all the music nerds, blah, 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 doing all that stuff, and did lots. And I've always taught and stuff since I was like 19, a very long time. But then my band got signed, and then the band broke up, and, you know, life, you know, went crazy, and then we got dropped from the record label and blah, 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 blah. So what we did was, so I was really jaded. I was like going to switch careers entirely. And I went to school a second time, and I was studied renewable energy. I did finish, but I didn't end up going into that career because I kept teaching lessons to pay for that school. So, I started to realize, I started having like a lot of success, and I started realizing like a lot of my teachers at the renewable energy school were actually like around my age at the time, because it was sort of a newer thing. They were like in their like late 20s, you know? And I was like, well, I'm just as professional and experienced as some of these people I've been learning from, but just in music. It kind of opened my eyes to that level, like of the skill level you need and this and that. And I learned a ton with studying renewable energy. So I was studying solar thermal, solar electric, and wind, small wind electric. And so I was going to do engineering stuff with that. I had no plans to like do the music thing again. But then I joined a band again after that. And I did another band. And and then like life just sort of hits you where you're like, I got to just start making some money. And when you, you've got to like focus when you want to do that and pick something. You can't be like half in and half out. And it's a little scary, but at some point I just decided to try to make my living off of the voice hacks thing. And at that point I had to like fully commit, sink or swim. You're either not going to, you know, so I learned a lot about, you know, marketing, technology, all kinds of cool stuff from the renewable energy side, you know, how to sort of look towards things futuristically. Cause I also feel like a lot of times, at least at this time a few years ago, you know, people in the metal scene especially tend to look backwards and look backwards mm-hmm. and look backwards and not looking forwards. And so it really gave me a lot of the skills that I needed to be like a little bit more professional and kind of do this. But I also saw a huge gap in the vocal education. There's not a lot of proper training on extreme vocals, and I have all the pedagogical knowledge from my formal music degree and everything. So I was able to describe that. And one of the things that I started doing that I think started making the channel more of a success is just being clear about things. Yeah. I think it's crazy how in the voice world, like, people just get away with like not actually explaining shit. And it's very strange to me. They can be so abstract. And I thought that was a problem too. So you just get to this point where you have to do something. And so that's what I chose to do. So even though I did finish my renewable energy thing, I got back into music and I never really even left it that much, you know, with bands and things. And I just realized, although that was a great career and a great industry, you know, I definitely had more skill over here, but I could apply a lot of things that I had learned. And basically now I've made it my full time, my whole job for years now. I have been teaching for like well over a decade and on Skype or on video calls since 2013. But
yeah, wow. I mean, even the renewable energy stuff, even though that hasn't created an immediate career for you, as you said, just the insight and be able to pick up skills and just knowledge that you can apply elsewhere. I mean, I guess there's so much that, and I've talked about this quite a bit on the podcast, where I think as musicians, when you're talking about your identity as a musician, you tend not to talk about, you know, what some of us do as day jobs and how the skills are transferable in other ways,
yes.
You know, and you might be working in something that stereotypically might be not terribly exciting or a little bit bland or old school and traditional, but, you know, there's things that you can pick out of those traditional jobs that can actually, you know, elevate your career as a musician or an independent musician or whatever it might be.
Yes. Yes. Because this is the thing. So being like professional in those worlds, like one of the reasons that I started to realize it wouldn't be for me was because like scientists and engineers are just not outgoing people. They're not entertainers. They, you know, entertainers are entertainers. You know, you don't pick that job if you have certain types of personalities and stuff. And I was always just weirding them out by being so like big and, you know, just, I was definitely over their comfort zone all the time, just being normal and like speaking loudly and having the energy we have as musicians, sort of confidence to, you know, we have to go a lot of places and meet a lot of people. A lot of these people, you know, they never left their area. They do the solar stuff right there. You know, they're going to do it 10 miles from the school, you know, but that being said, being professional in that industry means something completely different than being professional in our industry.
Yeah.
And so I learned a lot. I learned a lot about just two different ways certain business practices are done. What is considered more professional, from business contracts, management, you know, I think I agree with you. And it's made a profound difference in the way that I present things in the music industry and the way that I organize things and do things. And additionally, even the way I treat customers or clients, you know, you learn a lot about that and what will work successfully and what won't. And just sort of what is more of a professional business arrangement as a band or something like that. And it really, really helps. And it stands out because people don't carry those skills over enough into their entertainment job. And so it really, really stands out when you do. And then people are like, wow, you're so this and organized and that, because what would be normal in another business is not normal in the music industry.
So if you put
a little bit, you know, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, even just replying to emails and messages, like stuff like the most simplest of things, where if you're working a traditional job, you'd get absolutely grilled for not doing the basics of just, you know, making sure that people are kept in the loop with things and just fulfilling promises and setting expectations in that basic sort of communication piece, which, I mean, I think we're all so used to it in the music industry. You send something out, you get nothing back. There's not even an acknowledgement. And And I think when those people start to make an effort to just communicate slightly better, it's just, I mean, it's a point of difference straight away. These people become amazing people and reliable people, and they haven't even done anything yet. So I think it's just,
yeah,
I think
exactly. Right. Yeah. And no, but that is exactly how it is.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And it's, and I think that's the thing I've been trying to drill into a lot of my friends who are musicians. It's like, that there's so much low-hanging fruit with regards to that. Like, you just need to do the basics and you're already ahead of the game. You're ahead of like 90% of the other bands out there because you're just doing basic stuff that should be, it should be expected. And it's not hard to do. It's just a case of, I think in music, we sort of just, instead of looking outside our circle, we look inside. And we just look at what our friends are doing and go, oh, well, that's what's expected, so I'll just do that. And usually the bar is so low that everyone just complains about the bare minimum or not even meeting the bare minimum.
Yes, yes.
So I'm sure it's quite the same over your side as well.
Yes, and so it does make a huge difference. And effort stands out. You know, it's interesting to me how in a sea of content, you know, I think a lot of old musicians would be, you know, who started maybe in really decades where you had very few artists make it to the top, like 70s and 80s, find sort of this saturation a little bit terrifying because it's almost like music's become socialized, if you will. Everyone has an access. We don't need a label. We all have an equal opportunity to put our music out there and market it, you know, within whatever means are available to us. And that's huge. That was never the case in those decades. However, that means there's a lot of competition. But it's strange to me how even in that sea of people, if you really truly are talented and if you really truly have something or are acting like we're saying, like a little more professionally or working a little bit harder, you will still stand out in the sea. You will. It surprised me, but you will not get drowned out. If you really have talent or some skills, you will stand out.
And it's just so simple. It's just so basic, a lot of this stuff. And you know, it's the discipline of being consistent, showing up all the time, just all that stuff that I think for a lot of people that probably sit a little bit outside of the circle who have had experience in other industries and other types of careers and it becomes the norm. We sort of look at this stuff and go, well, of course, I mean, that's bare minimum. But I think there's so many people who just don't quite get that. And I think if people sort of understood just how easy it is to really sort of make a big difference by doing the basics. I mean, geez, I think a lot of, I mean, even just thinking about your local scenes with, you know, your local bands, just treating themselves as local bands and not giving themselves a chance.
Oh, yes. No, I had a situation where a bandmate actually was downplaying our own band and some bigger ideas that we wanted to do because we hadn't gotten to a certain level. So they actually felt like we were not entitled to do those ideas until a certain point. And I was very upset about that and very against that. And the reason is because that's not how it works. You just do it. And so, yes, I've seen this mentality many times in my life. And it pushes people past their comfort zone a lot. And this is why people will hesitate or say, well, we can't do that because we're not famous yet. Well, that's, you don't get famous unless you do those things. So you can't say, because when's the point where someone goes up to you and goes, you're now entitled to do this big show. Like, you get famous for doing the big show, you know, like no one will bestow it upon you because for someone to actually be like to making it level, if you will, some sort of level of fame or whatever, even within the metal scene, which is a little smaller than trying to be like Lady Gaga level. Even there though, you know, you've got this whole situation where no one is going to bestow anything. And by the time someone is quote unquote famous, they have done a lot of things. They've become famous for accomplishing a lot of things. So if you're in a band and you're like, I we know we have a big audience coming to this show. So for this particular show, I would like to have like backup singers and tracks and this and that. Do it, you know, don't let anybody tell you that you can't, you know, that you're not famous enough yet. If you have people coming to see you, then they're going to leave and say, or post on it. Now it's even better because they'll post it and everyone will see what a nice looking show it was. And you'll have more people next time. So you should never really sell yourself short and tell yourself, you know, that you are not famous enough to do something. I think that's a huge problem with musicians.
It's definitely a big mental thing. I think just having the conviction behind what you do and being able to put that confidence out there, because a lot of the time, you know, what you try is going to fail. But I think every time, I mean, you know, there's all those cliches out there about failure and that leads to success, which is true. But I think also when you start to receive criticism or other people outside of your circle telling you that, you know, you can't do that, or you're not ready for that yet, or you haven't hit that particular accolade where you'll get the gold star, where you're allowed to sort of walk through the next door. When you start getting that, I think that's sort of almost an indication that you are doing the right thing, because that's the resistance kicking in. That's almost giving you a sign to say that, hey, this is where everybody else stops in their tracks. And if you don't stop in your tracks and you decide to proceed forward, this is where you start to become one of those people that is sort of in the exception where you've made that decision to take it seriously.
Yes. And that is a huge thing. There's people out there going, well, so for example, if I would have said to myself, well, who am I to make teaching videos? You know, I'm not famous. Well, that wasn't my goal. My goal was to teach people. But if I would have said that to people or to myself, I wouldn't have like my full-time job now. And I've helped hundreds of people as well. And so all those people would not have benefited from my help. You know, so there's a lot of stuff we have to remember that, you know, when you do that, you're actually not helping people either. People get a lot of help from listening to music and therapeutic. If you're holding back and not growing your audience, you're not helping them hear your music. You're not helping reach them. You're not helping them get the therapeutic benefit of like listening to your songs or emotionally relate to what you put out there. Why are you putting your emotions in the song if you're going to hold back? And not really. It is hard though, pushing past the comfort zone. I've got so many people now that I've been around a long time where I've watched this succeed and fail. And basically just based on whether or not the individual person themselves is willing to push past their comfort zone. It's shocking how much of success, musical or otherwise, has to do with just you as an individual and your willingness to, again, be a little uncomfortable.
It is a massive thing. I mean, that, and every time, like I see in my own life, every time I'm about to commit to something and I'm like, I could easily just take the comfort path and just say no and just, you know, cruise along and just do something that's relatively, you know, safe. But I know that if I make that decision and take that step and it's going to be quite daunting and overwhelming for me, I know that once I get past that, it's just life's going to get so much better. And it's been proven to me time and time again where I've made that decision, and in that tiny little moment, which is so tiny, it is, I mean, you know, every emotion that you're having comes flooding through, the stress, the anxiety, you know, being mm-hmm. overwhelmed, but it's so fleeting, it doesn't last, because once you get through that threshold, it just, everything becomes so much easier, and you look back and you go, I can't believe that was such a hard thing. And just
right,
a lot of people
and it
don't
is. It is such a hard thing, though. Like, what if you would have told yourself, "I'm not famous enough to start a podcast." I mean, you've won awards for the podcast. You know what I mean? Tremendous things have happened to you because of the podcast. Just there, that alone is an example from your life.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
you just went for it.
Definitely, and I think even just, you know, in everyday life, or just talking to people, you know, people that don't have the guts to go up and have a chat to somebody that either they admire, you know, professionally or personally or whatever it might be, or from a networking point of view, you know, just wanting to, you know, you're at a, going back to the band, like at a local show, and you see people that you know of, but you don't know yet, and don't have the guts to go up and have a conversation with them just to introduce yourself. And so it's sort of like that whole sort of crossroads sort of point where you sort of go, well, if I do it, then what's going to happen? And if I don't do it, well, what's going to happen? And, you know, a lot of people just choose to just not proceed with that decision. And, you know, and
yes,
it's just a what if all the time. From a voice hack's point of view, I mean, over the years, I mean, you said you've worked with so many people. I mean, have you, what's it traditionally like with the people that come to you and work with you? Do you have people that just sort of do a one-off sort of lesson with you and a couple of lessons and then just disappear and get on with their life? Or have you had people that have sort of stuck around for a long time and you've sort of taken them from almost nothing as far as, you know, technical skill and knowledge and really built them up to something where they've turned into a career themselves, or even just from a skill point of view, have really sort of blossomed as a singer?
I have had all of those, and I have all of those currently. Mm. So it's up to the people, you know, because everybody's different. So I will have clients who, for example, one client that I had. First of all, I only teach adults because what I'm doing, I won't even take a vocal client under age 18 at all. Without just a couple of rare exceptions, I will. But other than that, I really don't. I just don't think. Well, it's actually scientifically proven that teenagers have less ability to assess risk. And you really need to have a risk assessment, and you need to not be tempted to do things that might hurt yourself and just like keep going even when it hurts or whatever you need. And so I really only teach adults because it's very extreme vocals, mostly what I specialize in. I do teach some clean singing as far as like belting, rock singing, but most people are coming to me to learn some sort of obscure distorted technique. And so, first of all, they're always adults. Second of all, so one client was this singer. He goes by two names, Brendan McCreary or Brendan McKeon. Mm. And he did this awesome song in the Netflix cartoon Big Mouth. He did this like... Wow. This Freddie Mercury song called I'm Gay, and he sounds exactly like Freddie Mercury. I mean, he nailed it. It was like a new song, so obviously they had to have an impersonator. So, but he came to me after that just to see like, well, is my distortion, you know, working and things like this. And so some folks are like him that are already professionals that are simply checking in and making sure that what they're doing is not ruining their voice. Some folks are professionals who are having problems with their current technique and need help. So I've had lots of folks in touring bands that are already very well established that, you know, just the workload is just like crazy. So some of those folks I'll see like fairly regularly between tour. Some folks come to me to learn a specific sound. And then once they've achieved that sound, they really don't need me anymore. It's repeatable at that point. You know, so I've got a lot of folks who it's just a variety. Some people will come once or twice and be like, ah, this isn't for me. Because they'll realize like how incredibly long the road of work ahead of them could be to achieve some of these extreme vocals. It's very athletic, and some of the styles are achievable, but just like, oh, you decide I want to be a pole vaulter. Okay, it's like physically achievable, but it's going to take a lot of work. You know, like you're gonna have to train from the bottom up if you can't do any of this stuff, and that may take years. And it's the same thing with extreme voice stuff. So at the same time, I've had some clients that I've seen many times over years, you know, so it just depends on the person and what their needs are, what they do with it. I'll see people less, certainly, if they do it less, but I really leave it up to the client, because if they're a pro and they just want to check in on something, there's certainly no need for them to continue to come, you know, so.
And no doubt would help you as well, you know, I think this would probably be a given, but teaching people just in general sort of makes you sort of more knowledgeable and more skilled in your own life. But I think also, you know, especially if you've got professionals coming to you, you probably learn little things from them just going through different processes where you can sort of apply it in your own career.
Exactly. And I've made wonderful connections. I have many vocal clients who've sold lots and lots more records than I have, you know, so certainly I've made some wonderful connections with people, and you do get to really know them personally as well, because vocal training is very personal. So, you know, I have to respect that as well, and almost have like a little bit, like I'll say sometimes who my clients are, but sometimes we'll be discussing, you know, their very personal vocal things that I'm not at liberty to discuss, you know. I mean, there's no, like, it's not like a doctor patient or a lawyer, there's no legal, but it's certainly unprofessional and unethical, you know. So you have to treat it that way, and so you develop very serious relationships with most of the people that you coach, especially if you've seen them over the years. And it is you do learn a lot, and just repeating and having to teach people the skills, your skills immensely improve. There are just certain things I can do now that I think have gotten much better because I have to teach them like five or six times a day.
Yeah.
Oh, geez. Someone's at my door. I'm sorry about this. I think this might be the solar installer. Jesus.
Have
hold
you
on
got
one
someone?
Second.
Yeah, good.
Someone, did you hear the doorbell? Didn't you?
Yeah,
didn't it
yeah,
come
I heard
up
it.
On? Okay,
yeah.
Hold on. We have someone Oh, Andy, you've been so tolerant. I'm so sorry.
I've never had
like a podcast with so much chaos surrounding it. I was like, gosh, I'm going to give him the worst impression ever.
No way.
Normally, like, I have a setup all ready to go, and, you know, everything's great, and there's not people coming by. And
oh, so funny.
Oh, my God.
That's so funny. I'll have to listen back to this thing and work out what to leave in here, because some of this stuff's gold. I love it. I absolutely love it. Because, I mean, that's the thing that we deal with. We're trying to balance everything, and there's always mm-hmm. stuff going on. I mean, even at the moment, after we finish here, I'm going to drive my wife to the dentist. And so she's in the background in the other room, just quietly, like, getting everything together, because she knows I'm doing a podcast. So she's trying to be really quiet. So it's just life, you know. We're all trying to just try and balance everything and try and keep everything moving. But the worlds clash all the time.
Yes, they do. And especially since I'm in a new home. So I thought I'm having solar panels installed and things like that. I'm like, is this the solar guy? Do I have to let him in? Like, what's happening? So anyway.
Well, I'm keeping an eye on the time, and I've literally just started as far as my notes are concerned. So I reckon, and if it's okay with you, at some point in time over the coming weeks or the next couple of months or whatever, we should try and catch up again and do a part two. Because
yes, I would love that.
I haven't even, like, I want to get into, obviously, Hellion Prime. I want to talk about some of your previous bands. I want to talk about record labels, because you sort of talked a little bit about that before. And I think
yes.
that's really fascinating. And mm-hmm. especially, like, the transfer of skills from other industries. And I know that, like, this latest album that you released last year, Question Everything, is not on, you know, a larger label. It's a different sort of setup altogether. And I think there would be, there's a lot of things to talk about in that space.
Yes, I would love to. And also too, you know, I'm starting to record episodes for the Voice Hacks podcast. So I'd love to have you there as well. So
sounds good.
That would be great.
Well, what I'll do is, I think in the meantime, just so people can, especially, I mean, there'll be a heap of people that listen that know who you are, know who the band is, but I think there'll be other people that are just discovering you for the first time. So I'll put links mm-hmm. for obviously Voice Hacks, yourself, the band, the latest albums. Everyone can check that out and get primed up, you know, before, I mean, I didn't even mean that then. That was a total pun by accident, but.
No, it is though. Cause like the word prime is like in so many things and there are so many puns. It's so funny.
So they can get primed up for the next catch up, and we'll record another one in the coming weeks, and we'll dig into a little bit more of the metal space and talk about some of the band stuff and I guess what's coming this year. And I think also the really interesting thing as well, I'm just dropping a few little hints and things for next time. I think is it husband or partner, Carlos?
Carlos, he's my fiance. But yes, so he will be my husband, yes.
Okay, so I think that's interesting, and obviously with his band and just, you know, you both in established bands and doing a lot of stuff, I think there's a lot of cool
yes.
things to talk about.
Yes, and Carlos would also be a great guest. He's got a great story, you know, because he's from Brazil, but he lives here in the United States, and of course, yes, the metal thing. It's so interesting how we both not only play metal, but kind of like power metal. It's very strange.
I know.
Totally so coincidental, which is very strange.
But, completely niche down. It's completely niche.
Yeah, I was like, can't get any more niche than that.
Cool. Well, look, I'm going to let you go so you can get into your next lesson. But thanks so much for the chat. And I'm looking forward to catching up again because it looks like we're just getting started.
I'm so excited. I would love to catch up again with you, Andy. Thank you so much for all your patience and the schedule and everything. You're totally awesome. I love what you do. Thank you so much for having me. I super appreciate it.
Hey, now go and reach out to Mary on the socials, Metal Mary Z or Mary Zimmer Official on Instagram and Facebook, HellionPrimeMetal.com, of course, and the socials, Voice Hacks on YouTube and Facebook and the likes. I'm going to have all the links, so many links, in the show notes over at andysocial.net and andydowling.net, and of course, the description of wherever the hell you're listening to this through right now. Just click through into the description. There'll be some show notes there. Stab your little fingers against the screen and click through and say hi to Mary and Co. and let them know what you think of their music. Let Mary know what you thought of this episode. Get her G'd up for the round two that's going to come soon. I mean, you guys just heard we only just got started and we had to wrap it up fairly quickly. It's not my usual sort of long-winded podcast episode, but I'm looking forward to a round two where I can really get into the guts of some of these other things I want to talk about. So many things to chat about with Mary. So I'm looking forward to catching up with her in the near future. Now, before we wrap it up, of course, Patreon, patreon.com/AndyDowling. Thank you so much for all the legends who are backing your mate Andy. That's me every month on Patreon and getting access to the Patreon podcast, getting access to free stuff, giveaways, merch, et cetera, et cetera. Or just signing up for the $1 tier, which is a big goal of mine this year to get as many $1 supporters as possible. But a massive thank you in particular to my top tier supporters. These guys are on my $10 and $20 tiers, like ridiculous stuff. Just, I feel so guilty that people are paying this amount of money per month for me in this podcast, but I love it. It holds me accountable. It's the ultimate motivator and helps me continue to just go after great people to have on this podcast, like this great chat I just had with Mary as well. So a massive thank you to Andrew from Perth, Mick G from Sydney, Ash from Deniliquin, Dan from Dapto, Rod from Brayley in North Carolina, Patrick from Canberra, Liam from Brisbane, Chris from Sydney, Brendo from Leeton, Tim from Canberra, James from Brisbane, Christian from Canberra, Steve from the Gold Coast, and Andrew from Sydney. These guys are part of the larger community over at Patreon. It all starts at $1 per month. It is absolutely nothing. Set and forget it. You won't even notice it. And if you do want access to the Patreon podcast and a bunch of giveaways and free stuff on the higher tiers, then you can get over there and access the additional stuff available over at patreon.com/AndyDowling. And that's about it, folks. Thank you so much, as always, for supporting us in Lord and the Undercovers Volume 1 release. It has been going just freaking crazy. For those who haven't been paying attention, we debuted at number 7 in the Australian ARIA charts and number 1 in the Australian independent charts. We managed to go 2 weeks in a row in the independent charts, staying in the top 10, which is crazy. I'm determined to try and maintain that and even creep back into the ARIAs, depending on what happens over the coming weeks. We've got a few ideas up our sleeves, but nonetheless, it's been absolutely fantastic, unexpected, and we are just so stoked and thankful for you guys for just getting behind the band and really making this release a success, which was meant to be just a bit of an interim thing while we continue to write new Lord music, which is definitely happening at the moment. So thank you so much. Go to Bandcamp, lordofficial.com. No, sorry. Well, you know, you can go to lord.net.au and you can go to lordofficial.bandcamp.com. I've got to slow down. Jeez, I'm just too many links, too many things to plug, just too much whoring from Andy. So lordofficial.bandcamp.com, go over there. You can grab the digital version of the album. You can also grab hoodies, t-shirts, CDs. There's a whole bunch of different options and variations there. Use the code AndySocial. You can get a discount. There are other discounts out there, discount codes. So hit me up if you're curious, but AndySocial will get you a nice discount. And just a massive thank you for backing us in the band. Like, just incredible stuff. So next episode, who is next? So here we go. I'm starting to get back into the groove. I'm coming out of this Lord chaos and just starting to find my groove again with the podcast. So next episode is an Australian musician, Adelaide-based, the second band member from this particular band that I've already sort of featured on the podcast over the past year or so. And just an absolute legend, a really cool guy. Stoked to have him on the podcast, so I'm looking forward to sharing that in the next couple of days. So until then, folks, keep sharing the episodes around. Do all the social media love, join Patreon, all that sort of stuff. But until then, take care and ta-ta. Larry, please.